A Mr. Dobie, a clergyman, wearying of his job, relinquished it, ostensibly on the grounds that he did not care to bury dissenters or to baptize illegitimate infants, but in reality because he was tired of being so busy, so sociable, and so conversational, of attending parish meetings, sitting on committees, calling on parishioners and asking them how they did, an inquiry the answer to which he was wholly indifferent. Having relinquished these activities, and having just enough money left him by his lately dead wife to exist penuriously without industry, Mr. Dobie looked round for an agreeable and peaceful spot in which to reside. Abroad was best, he decided. For abroad, you are less surrounded by inquisitive and sociable persons, who wonder why you do nothing and insist on conversing with you. So abroad Mr. Dobie went, with his 7 years old daughter, Denham, named after her mother's favourite Buckinghamshire village. A very self-sufficing and independent child, who made remarkably few demands on her father's time and attention. He recalled the island of Majorca, where he and his wife had once spent a very pleasant spring holiday, and which had certainly been both agreeable and cheap. Thither, therefore, he made his way, and took up his abode in a small pink house on a hill above the little town of Soyer. There, for 3 or 4 years, he lived, very cheaply, in a wonderful climate, on the side of a fragrant hill, embowered in orange and lemon gardens, with a picturesque little town at his feet and the mountains at his back, and a small old fishing port huddled round a blue bay a couple of miles to the west. At first he was very happy and peaceful, peaceful as only a widower can be peaceful, and as few widowers who are also fathers are peaceful. But as time went by, and his knowledge of the Majorcan idiom improved, and he was accepted by Soyer as one of its inhabitants, he discovered that Majorcans are almost the kindest and most sociable people in the world, and would not let him alone. They were not content with being kind to Denham, and loading her with invitations to the company of other children, which annoyed her a good deal, but they were kind to him, too. He could not so much as walk through the town without being accosted on every side with greetings. And when he walked on the hills, he was at the mercy of the friendly peasantry, who traversed the fragrant paths between the vineyards. It began to tell on Mr. Dobie's nerves. So did the chatter of the loquacious old woman who did his cooking and ran his house. But there was a worse thing. The English came. Here is one of the points about this planet which should be remembered. Into every penetrable corner of it, and into most of the impenetrable corners, the English will penetrate. They are like that, born invaders. They cannot stay at home. So that even in the desert heat of hottest Africa, you shall see little wigwams bearing the legend Grand Hotel of London, 5 o'clock tea. And if you visit the Arctic regions, you shall find Eskimo infants babbling broken Anglo-Saxon, and huts inscribed WC. Every train running over the globe is full of them, and the world's roads, plains and mountains are dense with knapsacked British walkers, burnt brick red by sun and air. Yes, the English will go everywhere. So it was not to be expected that they should not go to Soyer. They went first, of course, to Palma, Majorca's capital and port of arrival. Some of them remained there and went on excursions from it, believing it to be the only place on the island with inhabitable hotels. But many explored the whole island and stayed continually in Soyer, since Soyer was obviously a charming place to stay in. Artists came, spreading themselves over the town and the port, painting their foolish pictures of the landscape and the natives. Busy people came for holidays, idle people for whole winters, and for an agreeable and cheap life.